Turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. The text this evening will be verses 26, 27. Genesis chapter 1, 26, 27. Hear God's word. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now, many of you know we've started a series of sermons, catechetical sermons, which has a rich tradition in Reformed churches, in order that turning to the scripture and understanding a system, a summarization of biblical truth, of those essential doctrines that the church needs in order to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. From the pulpits of the Reformed churches, ordinarily in the evenings, there would be catechetical sermons. And for us, we have not handled each catechism question in turn, consecutively. We have not used the framework that's given to us, and it's a wonderful framework in the Heidelberg Catechism on the various Lord's Days. But we've taken various catechetical questions and answers, gone into the Scripture, and from the Scripture reflected, meditated, observed, applied the various teachings exegetically that we find within the texts. Now, we're moving along within our series, and we began really by discussing and considering God's decrees. And after really a mini-series on God's decrees, we then began to look at the doctrine of creation. And this evening, that special part of creation in which God creates man, male and female. So the catechism starts in a very, very general way by asking, how does God execute his decrees? And it answers, God executes his decrees in the work of creation and providence. Now it's going to narrow. What is God's work of creation? And it answers, God's work of creation is God's making of all things of nothing by the word of his power in the span of 6 days, and all very good. Now, specifically, how did God create man? God created man, male and female, after his own image, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, with dominion over the creatures. A wonderful summarization of what it means to be created in the image of God. Now, I've read for you the primary text that we have in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And just some observations from this text. First of all, we see that man is the crown of creation on day 6 after God created the beasts of the field and various things upon the earth, over the earth, in the seas. He then creates man. That last act of creation. And creates man in a similar way. There is a connection, a similarity. Man is created from the dust of the earth. And yet there is that which is distinctive. We are told in chapter 2 that God breathes into his nostrils the breath of life and man becomes a living soul. And that God creates woman from the substance of man. And so rather distinct than the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea. Second, when you look at the text, this is not only the climax of day 6, and really the climax of his creation when he creates man, male and female. We also see what is distinct in his creating of man by that deliberation that is recorded for us in the text, that is not recorded for us when he creates any of the other creatures or any other parts of creation. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." Let us make man. And there's been all kinds of discussions as to what this means exegetically. Who is God speaking to? Is he speaking to the angels? Well, no, quite in all probability, the best interpretation, he is either speaking to himself or this is a majestic plural that's used. But whatever the case, there is this deliberation that is given to us, and this speaking of God before he creates man. And what's interesting, instead of, as with the other creatures, let the earth bring them forth, God says, let us make man in our image. There's something of direct act of creation in making man that is so united to who God is. And the speech of God, let us make man in our image, clearly reveals something of the fullness of God when he creates man. We are told that man does not merely reflect God, that there's not just some aspects of him that is something of the image of God, but that man is made the image of God. And not of any of the three persons, but of God himself. And we should also reflect, too, on the Lord deliberating in making man, that God does not need to make man for fellowship, but within the Trinity of persons, he has fullness of fellowship and communion with himself. The third observation is that the terms that are used and throughout the history of Bible interpretation, sometimes there's a distinction between what the Scripture speaks of as being made in the image of God and being made in the likeness of God. The two terms basically are synonymous. There are nuances there, but are basically synonymous. And that distinction that we have found throughout church history lent itself to a definition of what that image was. And there were those who tried to divide between what is essential to being man made in the image of God and what is not. And some would say, well, it's his body. Others would say it's his reason. Some would say the freedom of his will. Some would say the virtues. Some would say the dominion that he has been given. But we, as we consider what it is to be made in God's image and in his likeness, we have to come to this conclusion that there's no single aspect or dimension, no faculty that is more the image of God or closer to God than any of the other dimensions or aspects of his being. We have to conclude that the whole human being is in God's image and in his likeness. Soul, body, faculties, powers, gifts. Someone has written that man is image of God because he is human. And he is essentially and truly human because he is the image of God. Now, what I thought we might do tonight is look at that more specifically, briefly, but more specifically. What is the image? It's not as though we have the image of God. We are the image of God. What is it? What does it mean to be made in his image, in his likeness? Well, I'll have to say that we really can't get to the bottom of it. Since we are part of the creation of God and such a special act of that creation, there is something to the human being that is unexaminable, that which is incomprehensible to him. There is a depth to the human being made in his image that we can't put our arms around, we can't analyze, we can't ultimately figure out. And so we would have to say that there's no particular key to understand what it is to be a human being, and no particular key, whether it be theological or scientific, to understand what it means to be fully image of God. But as we reflect on what it is to be human, we could think about various dimensions of being human. And this evening, I would just like to mention six, keeping in mind that we won't get to the bottom of what it is to be male, female, made in God's image. What it is to be a human being. And whether it's the science of genetics, whether it's the science of psychology, whether it is the science of anatomy or whatever branch of science, theology, philosophy we pursue, we won't get to the bottom of what it is to be made God's image. So six dimensions. What does it mean to be made in the image of God? It's all that it is to be human. And part of what it is to be human is to be, have that aspect, that dimension of our lives, which is spiritual. The scripture speaks about our being made a body and soul. And in other texts, it speaks of us being body and spirit. There is that spiritual aspect of what it is to be human, in which we have the capacity to have communion with God, distinct from any other creature that walks on the earth. That man, that God has created man in order to have fellowship and communion with him that is close. A fellowship and communion with him that is meant for eternity. Soul and spirit, an aspect of man that we can't truly measure. It is within us. We could think secondly and related to what we are as soul and spirit, to the various faculties. God has created us with reason. He's created us with volition. We have that ability, that power to make decisions. We have a will. We have judgment. We have imagination. We have all of those faculties within us that enrich our lives and make us truly human. That is part of the interior, part, we could say, of our thought life. All coming together in regards to the scripture, finding its seat, its centrality, its coherence and unity within the heart of man. According to the scripture, it's upon the heart that God looks, where man looks upon the outward appearance. It's where that relationship is established with our God. We could call it something of not only the seat of all of our faculties that come together in their unity, but that inner sanctum in which we enjoy that fellowship and communion with God. Proverbs say, guard the heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. Guard the heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. We could think thirdly of that dimension of morality, the virtues. And this is part of our catechetical training, that we are made in the knowledge and the righteousness, the holiness of God. That's what it is to be made in the image of God. There are virtues that are manifested in us, through us, that are similar to God's attributes, His characteristics, His moral characteristics. God is good, we are good. Not in the way that God is. He is eternally good. He is infinitely good. He is unchangeably good. He is the essence of goodness. Where we, in a derivative way, not in an eternal, immutable, infinite way, but in a creaturely way, we too were created good. These various virtues are given to us as a gift upon our creation. A gift that indeed needs to grow and mature, and a gift which in maturing and growing calls upon us to depend upon God's grace daily. Fourth, the dimension of our bodies. Rather somewhat awkward thing to talk about, since I feel like my body is falling apart as the days go by. But within that estate of righteousness before man has fallen, that body was meant for eternity. There was no corruption. There weren't the joints that are beginning to ache and the aging process, which ultimately leads us to that valley of the shadow of death. It's our bodies that are created by God, crafted to display something of the glory and the honor of our Creator. It is not the prison for our soul and spirit. Someone refers to it as a marvelous piece of art. It is essential to be human. And though in this order we die, absent from the body, present with the Lord, that intermediate state is not the end state that we look forward to. The Scripture stresses the new heavens and the new earth and the resurrection that shall take place when our bodies are raised in a similar manner as Christ's body was raised. And there is that reunion of soul with body, and we live then forever in this new heavens and new earth. It does stretch the imagination, doesn't it? But it is what it is to be human. It's that through which orders and organizes and expresses that aspect of our lives which is spiritual. Soul, spirit, mind, volition, imagination. It's a tent in which we dwell. It's the instrument by which we serve our God and serve one another. To be body is to be human. And that is to be in the image of God. Now, these last two dimensions are things that often are not considered when we think about what man is in the image of God. So I'll kind of flag these and try to convince you that this is part of what it is to be made in the image of God. To be made in His image includes habitation. God, in 6 days, created this earth, and I believe it's Calvin who says, in His goodness, in His love, He prepares all creation for this crown of creation in which man might be created and know the utter blessedness of God in this order, in this creation, in this garden, this paradise that God has made for him. There needs to be an answer for who and what we are, both as spirit and as body, found in that habitation in which we live. We were created to live in paradise. And there is something within the human mind, in the human heart, that understands that, that longs for that, that desires to find its rest in utter blessedness. We are meant to live in paradise, and we are meant to live with God. Now you can begin to understand the tragedy of the fall, which has severed us from paradise, severed us from our God, alienated from the good gifts that He has given to us. It has indeed marred, we can say, in certain contexts, it has taken away what we are as image bearers of God. Sixth, and again, these are just dimensions that are not exhaustive. There is more to the human being that we can speak about, made in His image. But there is that dimension, I will say, of community. And we can divide community in three ways. First of all, man is made not only to dwell in paradise, there's something of his habitation that is part of the image of God. And that has all kinds of implications that we won't speak about tonight in terms of housing and building and architecture and color and texture and everything else. But he wasn't only made to live a certain way in a certain environment, but he was created in order to have this relationship with his Creator. It's rather interesting. We have some evidence as to what image and likeness mean when we think of a relationship, a position that we have with our God. There is an analogy between God creating Adam and Adam bearing a son, Seth. It's Seth who is said to be in the image and likeness of Adam, as Adam was created in the image and likeness of God. And so in Genesis 5, the first three verses, I'll just read it quickly. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them, male and female, and he blessed them and named them man in the day when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he became the father of a son in his own likeness, according to his image, and named him Seth. Well, this doesn't answer all the questions that we raise. Well, what does it mean to be in the likeness and image of God? But there is a dimension. Part of that dimension is being a son, is being a daughter, is being a child of God. And so what it means to be in the image is it means that we were created in order to relate, to enter into community, to have communion and fellowship with God as his children. A familial image that is used of love, of warmth, of receptivity. A union and a connection that is not easily severed. Well, to be made in the image of God is not only a relationship, a communion with God as his children, but we note in the text, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Part of the image of God is that we are created to live in community, not only with the Lord himself, but with one another. This is what it means to be human. We were not meant to live in isolation. In some of our security prisons, if you have done deeds that are depraved enough, you are put in solitary confinement. And that is one of the most extreme punishments, apart from death itself. Now, sure, there are those who enjoy spending time alone, but we were not made, and nor could we reach our full potential as human beings if we were all by ourselves. Later, chapter 2, God, to Adam, actually declares to the whole creation, it is not good that the man should be alone. And so he institutes the ordinance of marriage. But it's not just marriage, it's community itself. And community in which there is an answer to our emotional, physical, and spiritual needs, even among the community of human beings. Marriage is the most intimate. But that only leads to a greater society that surely reflects our need for one another. And so community with God, community with one another, and surely community with all of creation. The text, God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. There is a relationship that we have with our greater environment, with the greater creation, that unfolds, develops, cultivates what we are as human beings created in God's image. It's true that in the 15th and 16th century in the Rhine Valley, when Christian humanism began to take root, and really became foundational to the Reformation. In part, this is how those reformers were beginning to think, this rich idea of what it is to be a human being in the image of God. And part of that image is that interconnectedness, that communion that truly we ache for, although at times we feel lonely and we are separate from our God, from one another, even from creation itself, a result of the fall. We were not meant to feel that loneliness. And so even among all of the creatures, it's rather interesting that the Gospel of Mark, when Jesus goes out to the wilderness, Mark mentions specifically Jesus with the beasts of the field, with the beasts of the wilderness. Well, there's something there about having dominion over all of the earth. And knowing that dominion, knowing that creation, our place within it, in coming to a fruition of what it is to be a human being. And so, my friends, I've just tried to outline something of what it means to be made in God's image. It is a very rich, rich idea through Scripture that the Scripture not only testifies to, but that we, in some sense, live with every day. We experience it, and we ought to relish what it is to be a human being, most especially now in the gospel, restored in Jesus Christ. And yes, there's still the alienations and the tensions and the difficulties and the remaining corruption that rob us of what it is to be truly human. Yet day by day, by His grace and by His knowledge, being conformed to the image of Christ, that image begins to come back to us. Surely in relation to our Lord, the image means that He possesses us. We are His. And in some sense, He is ours. And in relation to one another, it's, I think, Kidner who says, well, since we're all made in God's image, we need to take one another seriously. The Apostle John says, you can't say you love God and hate your neighbor. James reminds us that it's contradictory, since we're made in His image, to curse those around us. Assured that we are possessed by God, surely, hopefully, with a conviction that we need to love and respect and honor one another as His image bearers, expressing and demonstrating who and what we are. People of God, made in His image, manifesting in all of our humanity His power, His wisdom, His goodness, His love, His compassion, His mercy, in us, through us, in all that we do. Very rich idea. A rich reality that we might meditate upon, reflect, think through, relish, enjoy, experience as His children. Let's pray together.